thank you for the return of Eaton Nick.
You're welcome. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, brother. If you don't mind, I don't like sitting down, okay, please? But my job is to come up here and share an accurate part of history. How many historians are in this room? Got a historian there? Two? He's not in here, huh? There's a reason you come here, right? I hope so. You want to hear about history? Either lived it, or you're going to learn about it. That's the way it works. Either an active part of it, or you're going to learn about it, and you can be part of the new history that's going to be created in life. Want to thank John when he shared, and George when he shared, and the last two speakers we had, Guido and Bonnie. My mind's slipping through me. It has nothing to do with age. It has to do with I got so much in my mind and so much to cover in a little piece of time. I'm supposed to cover the court case. All right, but there's setups to the court case. You're hearing it. You hear George talking about this, writing a basic text. We can take anybody there that you want to take there. Mm-hmm. All right? I can walk in the meeting. He's a brand new person. I can let him know I'm going to World Lit Conference. Come on with me. Like George said, don't worry about the money. Just show up. And you were taken care of. When you talk about Ivyland PF, Farmhouse, Jim hosted one out in Ohio, the fifth World Lit Conference, right? The fifth?
Yeah.
Okay, where they did the, first four chapters of the basic text. Basically almost unaltered. Today yet. But you take that person with you and they can participate in this thing called writing of a book. That's what they're talking about. A thing that we call writing of a basic text. You heard John talk about it, sitting in a meeting and they wrote a step that's in the book. I mean, how much exciting time is that, to be brought into Narcotics Anonymous and you have a guy like Bo looking at you and telling you it's God's destiny for you. And you just go and do it. I was young in recovery when all this stuff was going on, and they talk about the AA influence over Narcotics Anonymous originally. Talk about AA members starting NA for us to get rid of us in their room so we could go talk about drugs in another room. That's what you're hearing about here. Hearing about changing their book and writing in it, removing Jack Daniels or whatever else they had in their Jim Beam and putting your drug of choice in, because we're about drugs of choice at that moment yet. And you hear about the man named Jimmy who that changed the word from a substance to addiction. And the key of that, one little word and what it changed. One word is that important, whatever we're doing. When we're talking about our literature in print. And that's what this has mostly been about so far, is our literature and print, how it came about, how we carried the message. It's talking about a region that was larger than any other region in the world at one time. And people don't understand it went from the far northern eastern part of North Carolina, actually belonged to Mid-Atlantic. And it went to Maine. To the tip of Maine, to Canada almost. That region went. It took you over 16 hours to drive that whole region. There was no region that large in the whole country that formulated other regions. And it started out of writing of a book. That's what bonded people together, was writing of our literature. And then the East Coast Convention. The first East Coast that Guido shared about, he's the chairman. You have the second East Coast chair here, George. You have the third East Coast Convention chair that will be speaking next, right? And you have the fourth East Coast chair right now speaking to you. And why? Because of writing of a piece of literature, we lost a... I just got to touch on this here, because we lost a member this year that was so important and dear to all of us.
Yeah.
His name was Joe Proctor, my sponsor. This is the great book. That was Joe's. Cherished. This piece of literature they keep talking about here, it's this book. It's a great book. It's called Narcotics Anonymous. It's the book that we got to replace all the other books that we had in our rooms and put in our table and said, this is our identity. And why am I going over this here and to get to the court case? Because everyone thinks the court case is about printing of a book. Yeah, that's what it came about. But it was not about printing of the book. Why do you get to the point where you're going to print a book? You don't feel you're being heard. You don't feel the conscience that wrote this book is any longer being heard. Is why you go to that level. John shared it in a policy committee being divided. You listen to John when he shared. He talked about he was in the center of it. You had the one clan on this side and the other clan on that side. The one clan was the corporate world and the other clan was the group conscience world. And he was trying to mend that and they come out with the twigs that never ever became the real accepted service manual. And wasn't going to become because that's not what they wanted for us.
Rejected at 84.
Yeah, it was rejected. It was never, and it stayed temporary. Temporary, yeah. Temporary what? This is all leading up to where we ended up, where my friend, and I'm going to be talking about my friend, my dearest friend, okay, Dave Moorhead, who was my friend, lived in my home. It's going through something. I have it. I don't know if I brought it down or if it's up in the room, but it has his address on. And it's in that address. I think I left it up in the room. There's a service guide manuals. And in there, his address was 3546 Linda Street, Allentown, Pennsylvania, which was my home. That was his address. 3546 Linda Street was turned to 3546 Broadway. I joke people, I said, they couldn't get me to go to Broadway. They said they brought Broadway to me. You know, but Dave lived in my home, and Dave and I were talked about a lot of things. He joined a public information committee. And why do I say that? Because the last open territorial committee of Narcotics Anonymous at the World Service level.
88.
He joined that committee, and we put a census out to all groups. And the groups, it was sent from their RSRs to their ASRs to their GSRs to the groups, and they sent that back to us to input. We wrote a guide to public information that the groups inputted, the groups reviewed, just like the basic text was done, and we come out with a public information guide that was accepted by the fellowship. Dave was looking for a place to get involved. As the committee structure shut down, Dave went and found the next committee that he could get into with public information. He tried to participate in literature. He tried to participate because he heard these stories that other people were telling about the book and wanted to be involved in that. And this thing is spiritual. When someone talks about compassion, every one of your speakers talked about compassion here. They talked about compassion. John talked about the compassion. He talked about the area of service in Philadelphia where all of a sudden someone turned around and hit someone in the head. That was not an uncommon practice. That was not an uncommon practice for me to pick a chair and throw it across the room. And no one arrested anyone. We quieted it down and get it back together again. But it was compassion that people felt and the love of this fellowship and the love to want to carry a message of hope and promise of freedom that set up the stage for the court case. And it's probably one of the most difficult things to talk about, a court case. Anyone ever been drugged into a federal courthouse? I mean, seriously, you've been drugged. I mean, a lot of us have been to courthouses for criminal activity that we participated in. So you know what it is to sit up there on the stand and, you know, you're going to fight this thing. And usually we were guilty in fighting them. All right? But to be sitting on the stand and to have a judge overseeing an issue of Narcotics Anonymous, in a litigation brought upon you by the World Service Office and for printing a book. And if everyone was around back then and they were a trusted servant, they probably received a letter and says, cease and desist printing of this book. Anyone that was around that was anyone in service got this letter. Around the country, an alarm went off in the fellowship. Witch hunts started happening. People started... I mean, a man named Big Lou, dear friend of mine. His car ended up in Biscayne Bay by NA members because they had cases booked in his trunk. They put his car in the ocean. 2 days old car that he had. I don't know how long he owned it, but it was a new one. Put it in the ocean. A guy from the podium of the World Convention pointed him out in the convention. In his speech, Lou ended up dying in a San Diego airport in a phone booth with a needle in his arm. He's the guy that printed this book. It's only 100 of these, this copy. And it won't end up in someone's archive except mine. If you don't have one, you won't get one of this one. This is, Lou gave me that personally. And so I want to set the stage for this here. Everyone thinks that, you know, this madman named Dave Moorhead was out there doing these things, trying to destroy the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. Dave was a personal friend of mine. The first book was printed was one like this. It's called The Yellow Plane Wrapper. Okay? Printed in my home group, Narcotics Anonymous, 1988, because they wouldn't give us our, because they changed our book. They changed our basic text. They changed our book and gave us a fourth edition without ever sending it back to the fellowship. And they had a paid writer write this thing, edit it, and send it back to it. Didn't send it back to us. Instead, we got it. Hazelton got a load of them first. He's talking about Hazelton, the brokers. The deal was brokered with Hazelton to put up the money for the printing first, and then they got theirs at a discount.
40,000, they got it.
Our home group went and printed these books. We printed them. And the fellowship was up in alarm. We got to the World Service Conference that year, and there was a lit conference on the conference floor. Never heard of before. Your trusted servants had a lit conference on the conference floor. Bob got up there, and he started talking about, we missed 25 lines, and we're going to reinsert them in the book. And explain that we can't go back to the third edition revised because Hazelton can sue us. And why could contractual agreements with Hazelton, and they could sue us for breach of contract with them now? Because they were influenced. He talked about the influence Hazelton had with Bob Stone on that they're going to write their own book if we don't edit our own. And that's true. It's in Bob's book.
It's right here in Halloran's words.
It's in Hollahan's words. George's report that these things are going to happen if you go back to that third edition revised basic text. So the conference elected to give us the fifth edition.
It's in there too,
yeah. 1988. I remember that. 88, they elected to give us the fifth edition. Then we went back in 89 to try to get it repealed and have the third edition revised brought back. And they didn't allow it to be heard in the conference floor. And then Big Lou and Grateful Dave hopped on a plane and flew to Allentown, Pennsylvania with me and came home with me. And they stayed for our group conscience, and we made the decision to print the third edition revised basic text ourselves. And we went over different covers we're going to use, all right, plain cover, this cover, and this cover, all right? And in the first one was printed with just a third edition revised basic text. Wasn't the fourth and ninth tradition in there, the original. And then we conscience through our groups, the three groups that were involved in it, to replace the fourth and ninth and restore everything that we felt was not ever group conscience back into the book. And that's how the book came about. And then we elected for Dave to get a printer because he could find the cheapest place for us to print books and it would come out to about $1 a book. After sending them to West Virginia, West Virginia was printing them for 67 cents at the printer, so they got shipped in shipping costs and then got it disseminated to the groups, came to be about $1 a book. So Dave went around the country with cases and let people either get them for free or $1 a book if they wanted books. Nothing above cost. So we could go get another order. Because we had to print 3,000 books for that cost. And that's how it happened. That's as simple as it was. And then the cease and desist orders went out. And through the cease and desist orders, they it's in here, one of these things here. Oh, right here it is. Where they took Dave back out to the World Service Office and tried to get him to stop printing the books. It's in here. It's in print. Everything I talk about, there has to be some backing in print, and here it's in print. It talks about the meetings that they had, the board meetings they had with Dave, and Dave refused. Because he was bound by group conscience. He couldn't make a decision for group conscience. And he refused to stop printing the book. And then the court order came down to take him to court. And then the federal court suit started, which I got involved with Dave in the planning, the implication of defending himself in federal court. And, it's very difficult when you're dealing with stuff like this, because now you got to go sit in the courthouse. You got to be ready. Told Dave, if you're going to defend it, we're defending it under the traditions of Narcotics Anonymous. The traditions are our guidelines. It's not, you're not an individual, and the groups will support you that are involved in it, and we will testify on your behalf that it's not your group doing these things. And we're going to look for something called limited public domain, which is an article we wrote in the New Awakening newsletter. And we want the open participation returned as an article on open participation and what it is and how it operates. And we want the corrective measures taken in Narcotics Anonymous. And John was talking about that divided committee. All right? We're going through a divided time. And he's talking about my friend Larry. Larry was my service
mentor.
Joe was my step guy. You know, he's the guy that led me through the steps. Larry was teaching me a service and be responsible to the group. And Larry had a big influence over the Mid-Atlantic. And it's always difficult when you're going through these times and trying to do what's right for the groups. And John will tell you, when I was on conference floor, I did not deviate from the Mid-Atlantic region conscience. Didn't matter. I was sent by the region with a job to do, and I did the job that they sent me there to do. And my opinion is of no essence when it comes to the regional conscience. And I'm a believer in group conscience. I'm a believer in that. And then you got the World Service telling you expediency and all these other things that got to happen for business purposes. And there's a conflict between business purposes and spirituality. And they're always going to conflict. They're always going to conflict unless you get together and really look for guidance from God and look for guidance through the group. And, Greg used to say to me, and he heard about Greg. Greg became my sponsor after Joe. And Greg used to say, always say things to me like, it's kind of neat. People believing in something that don't exist. I say, what is Greg talking about? It just dawned on me coming out here what he was talking about. He was setting a model up for us to put into place. But that model would become in conflict when you talked about the West Coast stuff. It would become in direct conflict with the West Coast stuff mentality. He's telling us to put this model, and it was the tree model. And Greg always said he just wished we'd let it have a chance to grow. No, it wasn't perfect, but let it happen. And the models he was talking about was having the groups have direct responsibility for its services. Kind of strange. And that's where we've been in conflict ever since. It's been it's clash, constant clash. And I don't think we came in, as John's talking about, that loving, caring fellowship that brought him in and loved him. And that's what we all, a lot of us experienced, that loving, caring fellowship stuff. And then we got into service, and then it was just like, hey, I'm a fighter. It's what I did all my life. So I'm going to survive in a good fight. I mean, I just watched Jerome Brown and Reggie White thing on our show, and it showed the infinite body bag game. The Eagles' defense was famous for this back then. Against Washington, they put 11 guys on stretchers that game, that defense did. That's almost the whole offense was taken out of that game. I mean, it was. They put them all out. I mean, it's just,
great analogy for this.
Yeah, that's what it was. We were in a fight, constant, and it was a conflict of spirit versus, he talked about strong central government. It's the same thing in our country. Rights of states versus rights of a federal government. It's the same fight, but it's in our service structure. We are only a microcosm of what our world is around us. And these principles we that are embedded in the writings, when you try to put them into your life, get in conflict with all the other stuff around us. And that's what happens. In this court case, we got two bodies. You got George, and you got the attorneys, and you got Dave and me, and we drug Bo in there so he could just testify that this book was not a right for hire, because we're dealing with right for hire stuff. And during this whole process, the hidden agendas that go on amongst us didn't stop. A right for hire, and you have to understand business. You have to understand this type of stuff. A right for hire gives the business ownership. The book was not a right for hire, so it's a fiduciary trust. There's a difference. So now we're in court, and we're looking at the issues of fiduciary trust versus ownership. And because of Bo's testimony that the basic text was a labor of love, not a right for hire. Talked about George selling his washer and dryer so he'd go out to Wichita and get the Lincoln. Tom the Red, who's dead, selling blood. Charles K. People that did whatever it was so we could have this basic text. And that's a story that was talked about right from every speaker here. About that labor of love in the sacrifices that we made to be places. In the early days, it said right in there, if you didn't have the finances and availability, you were not allowed to serve. And you remember that, John, right? You had to have the money, and if you were a treasurer, you had to have a bank account and a job. Mm-hmm. Well, most of us didn't have bank accounts or jobs. So, you know, and there's reasons for having a bank account and a job so you could prove that you're responsible with your own funds to start with. But that was in our service manual. Now, you didn't go to California unless you had the money to go there. You know, and now we got all these stipends and all this other stuff that goes on. But you were real accountable with your own money, weren't you, when you had to pay to get yourself there? You penny pinched to survive while you were there. You found the cheapest hotels, or you found someone to stay with. You found the cheapest places to eat. You know what I mean? Because you were coming out of this pocket. It was coming out of here. And if I got to go in here, guess what? I'm accountable for what's in that pocket, ain't I? My money, and I better be accountable for it. You know, see what I do? You know how much money I dropped like that already in my life? Yeah, but, you know, we got to look at stuff like that there. But we're in this court case. And this is, I don't know, you ever have a judge serve you water? Who's been in court? Now, raise your hand to be honest. Don't lie to me. Who's been in court? Huh? Most of us have been there for some reason or another in addiction, right? Okay? You ever have the judge get out of his high perch and come over where you're sitting in the low perch and get the water and put it in your glass and then sit there on your low perch while you're testifying? Ever happened to you? Happened to me. Happened to Bo. Happened to Grateful Dave. The judge served us. And the judge had more spirituality, and why do I want to say that? Had more spirituality to see that this was an inside issue, not an outside issue that he should be deciding. That it was a fellowship in conflict over an issue, and that it should be an inside issue for the fellowship to deal with. And so his order was for you two parties to get together and come back with a solution that I can order. Okay? He ordered a solution. All right? Where did I put it? I just had it here. What did I do with that solution? Just had it. But this, I'm not going to be in trouble. Yeah, it's in here. Okay, civil action. You can write this down, okay? Civil action 90-7631. Philadelphia District of the Federal Court. Okay, shall be determined subject to entry to the court order attached here to Exhibit A. Moorhead hereby convenes and warrants that he produce approximately 9,000 copies of the book incorporating portions of the basic text of Narcotics Anonymous, which has identified an infringement in the complaint to civil action, the same numbers, and is no longer in possession or any set of approximate 9,000 copies that he has destroyed. Any and all printing plates or other apparatuses associated with the manufacture production of said approximately 9,000 copies. That's what Dave agreed to get rid of. Moorhead and WSO hereby agree that in an effort to heal any wounds caused by the controversy which led to the above referred litigation, a statement shall be published in the January 1991 Fellowship Report, the next edition of Newsline, and the NAWA containing the signature of George Hollihan, Stu Tordeman, and David Moorhead. Now, I'm using their names because it's in the court order. You can get it. All right? The content shall be agreed by three individuals and be published to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. This statement shall be published to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. This statement shall reference the controversy which led to the above litigations and include a call for peace within the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, include a call for full and adequate discussion on the issues which led to the above litigations, and include any admonishments against any recrimination within the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous as a result of the controversy which led to the above litigation. I mean, listen to what I'm reading. If you were there, you know. And if you didn't get this court order, it was never given to you, I'm reading it to you. This act of Judge Pollack, 3rd District and Philadelphia Federal Court. WSO agrees to place within the comment, without comment, but with an introduction of following motions in the 1991 Conference Agenda Report at the World Service Conference, WSC, which shall immediately follow the publication in entirely of the choosing remarks of the Honorable Judge H. Pollack, enter a preliminary hearing held on Wednesday, January 2nd, 1991 in the United States District Court in Philadelphia, prior to the announcement of any judgment. So the judgment was not even supposed to be announced. That the Fellowship reconsider its decisions on which edition of parts, therefore, first, second, third, revised, fourth, or fifth of the basic text shall be produced and distributed by the WSO as official and accepted text of Narcotics Anonymous. In order for this motion to be considered, a description of the differences between the respective editions will be sent to each registered area and region, along with a copy of the complete basic text, third edition revised. It is expected that the WSC will rescind the motions adopted in 1988. They were supposed to be rescinded, which adopted the fifth edition basic text, as well as the motions restricted any changes to the text for 5 years. It was all supposed to be rescinded. Motion two, that WSO produce a reduced price, the addition of the text ratified by the WSC, the actual price of this text shall be determined in view of the following factors: its affordability to the membership at large, and changing the cost and quality of material and producing the book. The responsibility of WSO to provide services from income generated by sale to the basic text and whatever is includes personal stories are only the first 10 chapters. Motion 3, the WSO shall be directed to obtain a group-by-group tally of the groups registered with the WSO on Motions 1 and 2. This procedure will begin July 1, 1991 and will continue through December 31, 1991. All registered groups shall receive a copy of paper detailing the difference between the editions of the basic text and complete copy of the basic text, third edition revised. In addition, each group shall receive a complete informational concerning the issue relevant to the reduction in the price of ratified text. The committee appointed to supervise this tally shall consist of the following: four RSRs in attendance at the 1991 conference, WSC, two trustees to be nominated by the members of the World Service Board of Trustees, two WSO directors to be nominated by the directors of the WSO, the WSO, chairperson, be nominated by the RSR trustees and directors respectfully are submitted to the World Service Conference in 1991 for confirmation by 2/3 published roll call vote, failing which those are not confirmed should be replaced by other nominated by the RSRs. The trustees or directors respectfully, two members of the WSO staff that shall be assigned by a non-voting advisory board. The results of this group tally shall be published in the fellowship report and confirmed as an official World Service Conference 1992. Group tally never happened. Third device, basic text was never sent to all groups. We're still in contempt of that court trial. Still in contempt. We thought we were above the federal court as a conference. The conference was stopped. I have other reports in here. The conference was stopped in the middle of it by the judge. And he was on the phone with the World Services and then tell him, we can't stop the conference. And the judge said, you shall stop it now. Dave died. Our group again received letters to our meeting facilities that were creating the baby blue, that we were not Narcotics Anonymous in our churches. World Service office in the Little Apple area, so 7 meetings in our area where letters received. And I had to go talk to each pastor, and each pastor left to stay. And why? He said, because we have the same controversial stuff in our own regional meetings. He said, we understand. And they left to stay. But this is not my opinion. This is my reading what the order was. It's my participation of being there. It's not the place I want it to be. Would I rather be on the podium at a World Convention speaking? Yes. Would I rather be a fellowship member and have membership, full membership returned? Yes. But my friend Grateful Dave is dead as a result of an AIDS virus. What happens with the AIDS virus? Anyone ever knows anything about AIDS? Very scary stuff in the 80s for us. Probably heard a lot of each another because of it. Because we were scared. This thing came about us and we didn't know. I sat and doing my sixth step in the jacuzzi with my sponsor, Greg. And I called him up about 6 months later, scared out of hell. I said, you know, we were sitting in there with 3 freaking guys that had AIDS. What do we do, Greg? He said, if God wants us to get the virus, we'll get it. Simple. He said, but I don't think we can contract it that way. But we didn't know. Fear. We get motivated by fear and we do harm with fear in this program a lot. This whole thing with this court case was based in fear. And the fellowship was given fear of what's going to happen. What's going to happen if we allow these few renegade groups in their minds and they use us as illicit members, illicit groups, the illicit book from the print. They labeled us. They labeled us as these illicit people. The scare just went out again. Same office. I had to deal with some Canadians and some guys from up in Portland. Steve, I talked with Steve about what was going on, and I had to call him up and tell him, let him know Bill Allen's moving to Oregon if they're bringing a suit against you. Called up the office and let him know I'm moving to Oregon. If you want to file, let me know. Because I'm moving there. I can violate my own last name, okay? It's not in the public or the media or anything else. It's everyone knows me by it anyway, so what's the difference? You know, but the same fear just came. You know, I have the best hopes for this fellowship. That we can carry a message of hope and promise of freedom like we did in form the Mid-Atlantic region years ago that produced our book. I have the same thing, but we got to learn from history. I mean, you know, I got a bunch of books up here that I collect and create. They're not books that are written or books that are documents that I put together. I had that picture book up here earlier. This is a Gray book, of the original Gray. Greg P.'s writings, steps, tradition, precepts, literature, stuff that he wrote. Greg's writings of service. You know, NA Tree plus other service manuals, including the green in here. History Conference from Allentown, 1990 and 91, the actual conferences that were transcribed from tapes put there. You know, 1953 to 75, and it's kind of weird because that's what happened up to that point, and here's what happened the next 3 years. I'm working on the 80s book, which probably be about 10 volumes done, or more. But I want to take this stuff so people can see it and go through the documents and learn. And learn from their history so we're not doomed to keep repeating the same mistakes. And then I had the history, you know, the history in pictures of, you know, basically what's the basic text there? You know, and I stole most of these from Jim, these pictures. Added a few of my own of people that meant something to me. Okay? I like Mac and Lou. And with Joe, who just passed, and Joe and me. You know, but these are the Larry North and Billy Eason are both passed. John said we can use their names now. But these are two members that they, you know, they're look like they come from the biker world. All right? But they meant a lot. Billy was famous, more famous outside of NA than he was in NA. Billy was one of the best tattoo artists in the world. At his funeral, not only did he have NA members there, not only did he have regular people come there, he had the pagans there, he had strip girls there, did all walks of life at his funeral. Unbelievable. And there's Larry again at the East Coast, and there's your friend Roger T. and his children. People that meant something. I still remember Roger down in Miami at the World Convention, and he had a Scottish kilt on and stuff, and we're watching the Dolphins out there, you know, and we were all friends. It was a neat time. It was a neat time, but we were all friends. We were at the World Convention, 11 in Washington, I mean down in Miami Beach, Marco Polo Hotel. You know, and then they had the World Lit Conference after that, the 6th World Lit Conference. Then we went up to the 7th World Lit Conference in Ivyland. Ragger Bonds. Shared about Ragger Bonds that Dave was probably the last greatest one. Dave lived in my home for 6 months, two times. Dave was a very intelligent man. Very great writer in his own right. And I'm going to end with this here. Now, let me check first.
Talk about a step working guy.
Okay. I got a few more minutes. He wrote The Power to Recover. Power to Recover, Dave wrote. Tried to submit that to World Service. They rejected that also. The Power to Recover. It's great, great step writing material. You know, and there's been a lot of writing that goes on in Narcotics Anonymous. I got newsletters up here. One of the newsletters were dedicated to just writing. I think it was our, what issue was that? April issue. April-May issue. It's the new old NA way. But that issue was just dedicated to writing IPs that groups are writing today, actually participating writing stuff, writing of what their perception is in print again. You can get everyone can take a newsletter that till they're gone, okay? But there's your few of them newsletters. I brought them with me, and you can have them. But this exciting stuff. I mean, Dave was writing and constantly communicating. Finding how Greg worked the steps, because Greg was his sponsor, talking to me about step work, and he's putting it in print and giving it to his sponsees. The same thing that we do in our home group. We have a step writing guide that we use. We use a step writing guide that I've been getting out, and you were telling me about it. A lot of people like it. You know, and we share it with anyone. Anyone can have it. They just got to pay for the cost of printing it. It's available to them. Yeah, I mean, you can go on our website, nahelp.org/, and you can download all the old literature for free. You can get it all. It's yours. Just print it. It's a great computer age today. You got printers in your own house anymore. You don't have to go over to the printer shop. These grade books I print on my computer, basically. Then I go to the print shop to have them do the binding for me, do the covers. That's all. All this stuff here was printed on my computer. Got a print shop in my own home today. Oh, how great that is. Got a print shop. Just bought a good printer. Then I burned that one out after 3 years of producing over 1 million copies on it. Now I got a cheap one. Now I'm back looking for a good one again.
Don't look at me.
Well, I'm going to get a good one. Don't worry. You're not going to be the printer. I'm going to buy a good one again. I want it for Christmas. So I'm telling my wife what I want for Christmas. is a printer. So I can sit there printing material so I can give it away freely. Someone asked me, what's going to cost me to get that? I says, whatever it costs me, it's not for sale. Greg never charged me a penny. Joe never charged me a penny. They gave me what they had for free. Remember, Greg used to hand the little long version, the little white book out. You see, you want a gift, he meet you and he give you that. Joe, when he met me, he gave me this. He gave me a book, and he gave me his inventory guide here. The second East Coast he met me. And he handed these to me. He was on roller skates, and he started hugging me. Start giving me one of them long hugs that my wife never gave me. And he scared me. And I wanted to kill him. And I was capable of it. So I went outside. I met a guy named Charles K. Roy D. Or Roy Drum. I can use his name now. Tom the Red. I never knew Tom the Red's last name. But Tom the Red was out there. Big George from Norristown. You remember Big George? Big George is out there with a couple of the other bikers from Norristown. And they're out in the field at the Second East Coast. And I went over there and I'm looking these guys in the eyes. And they looked at me, what the hell's wrong with you? I said, I'm going to kill this guy. I said, he wants to go to bed with me. And I'm like, all fucked up. And Charles looks at me and goes, well, what did he say to you? He told me to work this after die, motherfucker. And I looked at him, I said, and Charles says, well, you can work the steps or die, motherfucker. Or you can kill him. Or you can just say la vie and forget it. I mean, say la vie, motherfucker. You know, I mean, just like, and I'm like, why, these guys don't even give me a solution. Then I go home to my home group, and I'm sitting there, and I'm sharing with people about this stuff. I took, well, first I dumped all the old AA literature, all the DNA literature, in the garbage can, and I put this book down and said, this is our book. This is the basic text of Narcotics Anonymous, and it's ours. Anyone got a problem with it? And a couple of AA members are sitting there, and I says, well, you got a choice. So, you know, Charles will tell me that. I can tell them that. I said, if the choice is you can either leave, go back to where you came from, or you can sit down and become an addict, or you can fight, and I prefer the third. I mean, I was that worked up. And then they left. No one would fight with me. And then the newcomer says, you know, that guy ought to become your sponsor. He could probably help you. So I called the man up and asked him to sponsor me. And everything changed since. Joe, Jimmy, and Greg helped me work through all my deepest secrets in my life. Helped me get in touch with the person that was so scared to come out and not be fearful of other people. Help me not be judgmental. Help me to work through my anger and my frustrations in life. Help me deal with living in my bedroom when I was a little boy. And my sisters were being molested. And I was being molested in my own bed. Help me work through all that shit. Only in Narcotics Anonymous will that ever happen. Anything that I may have harmed someone with was out of my own fear. Reliving the past in the horror and then turning 12, 13 and you're becoming a young man and you're strung out already and you got some guy playing cards and showing you naked pictures and molesting you. And I feared a lot of people because of this shit. And then I go to prison and get raped one night. And I felt like filth. And I came here and I found freedom. And one of that freedom is because of the old participatory service structure. Because people cared enough to love enough for me. And I love my friend Dave Moorhead. I love my friend. And till we sit back and start learning from our history and making and correcting what we've done and living these principles, identity is all going to go away. That's what we learn in history. I study history. The favorite subject I ever had in my life. You know how I got away from all that pain I lived in when I was a child? I went to the library as a child. I used to get autobiographies and biographies and reading. I read a lot. When I walked out of ninth grade in high school, I joined the United States Army. I snuck in when I was 16. I wanted to go to Nam and die. I wanted to leave the pain behind. But one thing that they had me said, you want to be a sergeant, you got to have a high school diploma. And as a ninth grade walkout, I took the GED test and passed. So I wasn't a stupid individual. We're very intelligent in this program. We have creativity, and we need it to flourish again. We need it to flourish. We need everyone to experience it. And I look at the worldwide fellowship that John talked about, not a United States fellowship, but a worldwide fellowship. I sponsor a guy in England. This group in England prints these books. They're the English Red. They print their own key tags. They got people over there that never, ever seen another basic text except these books. They have a whole area that never seen another basic text except these books. And they have, and you were there, Ed. You were over in Ipswich with Neil. Neil just got married this week. You know, these guys got 17, 15, 12, 13 years clean. Never seen another book except this book. And they love the basic text of Narcotics Anonymous. But the history, learning the history, and then the court order not being sustained, never not being held up, to me, it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. And we need to learn from our past. The joyous stuff is important, but then all the hidden stuff that we do, when we come into stuff like this or we get into service meetings, that's where we got to get this stuff out at. We need to be honest with each other. We need to be caring enough so we can carry a message of hope and promise of freedom. There should be no stifling of the spirit in this program. This is about spiritual stuff. This spirit should be flowing. People should feel free in this program. There should be no issues of Suboxone, okay, in this program. I mean, yeah, we're not doctors, but guess what? What are we? We know how to stay clean, don't we? Suboxone being used in the program Narcotics Anonymous and saying I'm clean and chairing meetings and going in H&I facilities? I mean, I got a problem with that. I don't know where people come. When people come into Narcotics Anonymous back when I came in, they told you about total abstinence. The guy that was doing the freaking, I don't know what they want to call it. You go to the clinic and get it. See, I'm not one of them junkies like that, so I didn't do that shit. But I knew when they walked in, they weren't clean. And I know when the psychiatrist told me that I had mental damage and had to do medication the rest of my life, and Joe told me I didn't have to do that medication, I never did it. My personal story here is about I walked out of a one-way, I left a halfway home on a one-way street because of two issues. The one, they wanted me to go to another fellowship, and they wanted me to do medication. And I moved into a garage on another one-way street. And I stayed clean. Never had to do the psych meds, and I never had to go to another fellowship again. They said, I violate their contract. Well, they didn't look at their contract right because I did not violate their contract. I just said, I go to 12-step meetings. That's all I wrote. I go to 12-step meetings. And I was going to about 30 a week, traveling, like George was talking about. I travel 3 hours to get to a meeting. And then have meetings in the car. And you always drug people with you. You have better meetings in the car than you had sometimes at the meeting. And then you have another meeting on the way home. I mean, meetings after meetings after meetings. And then we go hang in the restaurants, as George was talking about. Said we didn't sleep. I go to Pebble Hill and then he'd come back with me. We didn't sleep. Go to the meeting that morning. Go to a step meeting. You know, just like, and then I go down to Bucks County Sunday morning to a step writing meeting. That's what we did. And times have not changed in that sense. The only thing has changed, some of you got big things in your ears and got jewelry hanging out your face. I just think it's great that you got it because it's just weapons for me to grab and pull you around by. I love that shit. Hey, you want a nose ring, Greg? Thank you. Nipple rings? Don't get close to me if you got that stuff on. I like torture. You know, but think about it. The court case, should have it happened? No. It happened, though. We got to deal with the issues. We got to deal with the results of it. And we got to move forward in action. And we got to find a way to come together. The peace has to come together. And if your world services never lead that peace, your group's got to lead that peace. I mean, I used to love them trustee things. What do you call them, John?
Bulletin.
The bulletins. We put some of them bulletins out in our meeting yet. Some of them bulletins were great pieces. The thing on the other fellowship was a great piece that was put out. It helped a whole lot with some of the groups. But there's a lot of good pieces of literature out there today yet. Just it doesn't say approved on. But should we stop reading it? Should your home group stop writing that step? Right. Should George's home group stop writing them steps? Should Jim's home group stop working on that literature they were working on for the basic texts and the IPs? How do you think we got our literature back then? We wrote it. That's what they told us. Write it. We need to do that stuff. And you know something? It's not about all the crap that handled out there. It's about the spirit that happens that helps you get another day clean and help another newcomer. And we need to stop allowing them to do service for us. We should be doing our own public information work. We don't need a public relations committee. We need a public information committee putting information out that Narcotics Anonymous exists and here's what we are. We need to go sit in the detoxes again, if you can find one. We need to sit in the prisons again. We need to go to the rehabs and sit there, as George was talking about. If you got one, drag them to the meetings with you. Show them what NA is. We don't need someone else doing it for us. We need the service as close as possible to the membership is what it's about. And that's what you learn from history. When we grew, when we went from 600 groups to 1,800 groups and kept growing, how we exploded after that. We exploded because of that, that energy. John did the greatest asset, and I never got to thank him. But when we had that confrontation in Philadelphia area that time, seriously, it forced us to go home and form our own area. And it wouldn't have happened if you didn't if you and me didn't hit that confrontation. Would not have happened. We had no intent of forming our group in this three groups. We had no intent to go up to the Poconos and talk to Egon and get the Mount Pocono group to be part of us. And through that there, other groups formed. And that's how it happened. Groups formed. So basically what you were saying to me, and I couldn't hear it, is you need to be doing the service at your group level. You can't depend on Philadelphia area to be coming up there to do the service. That's not what I perceived. And my anger got in the road with that. But we formed an area, and through that there we formed five other areas off of that area. Through that we formed so many different things that helped so many addicts recover where they weren't recovering before. That's the miracle of everything. And that's what Dave was looking for. That's what Dave Moorhead was looking for, the same thing. The same thing that each one of us should be looking for. The same thing that every addict, we all have creative part of us. Find it. Give it back to somebody else. I could not write when I came to Narcotics Anonymous. I've been working on a book. I wrote articles. I wrote a few IPs that other people have inputted now. Could not write when I came to Narcotics Anonymous. And Joe Proctor used to just get behind me, and he'd go like this here to me, and he'd just encourage me and tell me, "You're a writer, Bill. You're a writer." I worked on a sponsorship IP in Ivyland with a group of people that were newcomers. And he just kept rubbing me down, and he'd bring my coffee, he'd bring my food to me, and he served me. Joe didn't write. But yet, he could help you become a writer. He could encourage you and love you and let you know that you can give back something that you didn't think you could do. He found who you were and set you free. I talked to Joe the week before he died. I spent three phone calls with him, like we used to do in the early days. Extensive hours on the telephone. He was telling me how great he was doing. But yet he was dying. He called me then three times that week. Joe never called me in his life. My responsibility as a sponsee was to call my sponsor. not for him to call me. He called me 3 times that week. Without Joe, I don't believe, we may have ended up with a book, but we wouldn't have ended up with the gray book the way we did at that point in time. This wouldn't have happened in the spirit it did. God used us to create something that we never knew we could create by telling us and telling groups like John's, groups like George, to write their own literature. Quit using the other books. Write your own. It happens at the group level. Been trying to get Danny here to write an article for our newsletter, and it's called "The Group is the Most Powerful Vehicle." And it truly is. The group is the most powerful vehicle. And that's what Dave was defending in the court, that the group is the most powerful vehicle, and the group owned the basic text. And the group should have its right of destiny with its own book. And you read through all the stuff, study the minutes, talk to the people that have been there, and if we're all honest with you, we'll put our garbage on the table also, and we'll tell you the truth. Tell you what it was like. However, show you that by working steps, we can all be delivered from this here and give the responsibility back to the groups in Narcotics Anonymous to fulfill their own destiny. The spirit, what we do, is more important than anything else. And that's carrying a message of hope and promise of freedom to the addict who still suffers. And there's many of them out there yet today. And I think there's more out there now than ever before, because now they're returning to doctors. In the 60s, where'd they put us, John? Huh? Jail? Where else? Institution? Mental institutions. How many of us were shock therapy back then? That's what they did to addicts back in the 60s. They didn't treat us. They treated us subhuman. The addicts weren't allowed to congregate in New York together. Rockefeller laws. Yeah, talk with someone talked about getting picked up in Kansas, in Wichita. Okay, ask him what happened out there. If you ever get to meet him, he's alive yet, isn't he?
Who?
Yeah, who picked up George?
Oh, Jim.
Yeah. Jim's alive yet. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. He's in Missouri now. But talk to him how they treated addicts back then. When they were there busting the meetings, waiting for the addicts to come out to arrest them. That's where the cops went, so they could arrest people. Go to Narcotics Anonymous to arrest people. We all talk about them stories where we're stuck on one strip of a town. We're now in town, we get stuck on 6th Street. What was on 6th Street? Prostitution, drug addiction. They didn't let, for a few years, we couldn't leave 6th Street. That's where our meetings had to be. You went down 6th Street, you got one meeting here, then you went actually a half block up on Turner Street, which is off of 6th, and then you went up a couple more blocks, and that's where our third meeting was at. That's where all 6 meetings met, right in that strip. When we ended our addiction, we ended up putting our meetings. But we weren't allowed off there for years. They kept us there. No other facility would take us. So a couple priests and pastors and stuff allowed us in other facilities and helped us. So, anything you got questions or answers or want to get together and look at material, let me know. You want files downloaded to your computer, let me know. I'll send all my files to you. Anything I got up here, I can send you on a computer. I like my waves. I don't have to have a room like Danny there on a computer instead. And all my files are there. Everything else is in the basement in boxes and crates and file cabinets. But we keep getting stuff on files. Radio Free NA has a lot of files that you can access. There's another site. What's the other site you go to? You go to a couple different sites to get this.
Yep.
Oh, there. See, there's all different types of sites out there to get information. But all my files are yours if you give me your email and you want it. I'll give you my email. Yeah, I'll give it to you. You want to learn. But prepare for the ride if you want to learn. Prepare for it. Thank you for allowing Steve and I to be up here today.